Welcome to Triangle 411, the pulse that moves the Triangle world today. It's a vibrant collection of stories, medical breakthroughs, what's trending, social good, events, and boundless other adventures. A conversation pit of comedians, authors, chefs, sports figures, experts, the common and the uncommon. Here's the host of Triangle 411, Mary Innsbrucker.
Hi, friends. Parent coaching or mentoring is quickly becoming a staple in modern life. In fact, some employers now offer it as a company benefit. Yay! And no wonder, after all, kids don't come with a DIY manual, if only. Many factors play a role in the essential requirement and demand for parent coaching. Just think about it a minute. There is just way too much to do and too little time to do it. Parents can find themselves lost in a circling abyss of mind-boggling decision-making, crushing physical strains, and fluctuating everyday extremes. There needs to be balance. There needs to be a roadmap, people. Enter Pam Diamond, founder of First Days and Nights. Pam is passionate about empowering parents with the knowledge, confidence, we need confidence, and skills needed to perform the most important job in the world, parenting. As a parent coach, Pam provides guidance and education to help make the transition to parenthood and the different stages of parenting more manageable. And, added bonus, she helps grandparents too. After all, and I really found this number somewhat surprising, but after all, approximately 2% of U.S. children, that means 2.9 million kids, are being raised by their grandparents. Let's talk to Pam about the services out there for both parents and grandparents. Welcome, Pam.
Hello, Mary. Thanks for having me again.
Well, thanks for being here. And today we're going to talk about your parent coaching services. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Sure. Well, though I'm a postpartum doula and a parent coach, and people think that I just love holding babies all day, the truth is that I love empowering parents with knowledge, building their confidence, and giving them the skills that they need to perform the most important job in the world, parenting. So I provide skills and insight that hopefully will last a lifetime. That's what I hear from my clients many years later, that what they learn lasts, and I love that. So, being a parent coach is offering guidance and education to parents, usually from anywhere from birth to about 4 years old. Occasionally, I'll work with people with older children, but I usually stop about then.
Okay. So of all your parent coaching services, which one seems to be the most valuable?
Well, people always want to talk about sleep. We all know nowadays the importance of sleep for our physical and emotional health. And so not only do they want their children sleeping better, but they want to be sleeping better. So that's where most of the questions will fall around. But it's often not really about the sleep or their child's sleep. It's really more about parents being consistent and committed to their routines, if the routines are age appropriate and, you know, appropriate for their child. So starts with sleep, but they often learn a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, I just want to throw a couple quick things out there for a little advice, and then we'll go back to, the whole structure of being a parent coach. So, sure. So first off, let's say a couple things here. How do you instruct a child or teach a child or I don't even know what term is the best to use, when explaining like who's in charge. A lot of times I see kids at store and they're more the parent than the parent. What's going on there?
Yeah. Well, you know, you're seeing the meltdown or, you know, you're seeing behavior that's been ingrained for a long time. So clearly we're not going to start teaching that in the grocery store. We're going to start in the home, and we're going to start with a child that's not overtired, over hungry. And so hitting sleep windows is important, having good nutrition is important, but having clear messaging is important too. So I remember going into a client's home and it went like this. It's time to get ready for bed. Okay, John? John, it's time to get ready for bed. Okay? Well, no, it wasn't okay for John, the 2.5-year-old. So first of all, it's not a question, it's a statement. Now, I'm taking it out of context, and there's so much more that has to happen, but it really does. And the age of the child matters in how it's delivered, but consistency is the secret sauce. So being consistent, having clear messaging, having age-appropriate routines and activities, all that's important in teaching your children that, in setting appropriate boundaries.
Mm-hmm. So again, I'm going to just throw a couple things. You mentioned it yourself, a child that hits, and you've told them, don't hit your brother, don't hit your this or that. What do you, clear advice there? Like, how do you get a kid to stop hitting?
Yeah. Well, one of the techniques that I love using is called say what you see. And so when our children are acting out, they need attention. They're trying to communicate something. So in a situation like that, again, I am, you know, we're not going to fix everything in a 15-minute phone call today. And actually, this is just one question, part of that 15-minute call. But in that situation, the parent might say, it's not okay to hit your brother. Hold on, let me think about this, Mary. Let me back up for a second. I like to point out the emotions. So you're angry at your brother right now. Yes. And the parents need to be quiet and listen to what the child has to say. Yes, he took my toy. You're angry that your brother took your toy. I am. He always takes my toy. So we've got to be quiet long enough to let them have their say. Then it's not okay to hit your brother. There must be something else you can do. So now we're putting it back onto the child to help with solving the problem. Giving our children the power of making decisions is so important. Now, again, I very much simplified this, but it works so beautifully. So we point out the emotion. You're really angry right now, and you kind of raise your emotions to meet it. You're really angry right now. I am. But we've got to be quiet long enough to hear what they have to say. And it means that we might have to say it a couple times. Then when we start getting some information, you know, yeah, he took my toy or whatever it is, we can say, you're really angry he took your toy. But now we're going to tell him what the limit is. It's not okay to hit your brother. Mm-hmm. There must be something else you can do. And they may need some help problem solving, but they may say, you know, I could tell him I want it back. And then we're going to work with them on, you know, using good communications to say, you know, can I have a turn when you're done, or, you know, something along those lines. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I'm going to get onto the other topics. Just need a little curve here, because earlier we talked about if the child says, I don't want to go to bed now. And it, you know, mm-hmm. and said, ask, making a statement instead of a question. So if this is why it's so difficult. And that's why there's a good thing that there's parent coaches, because on one hand, you're letting the child say what he wants to say and what he needs to say and why, blah, blah, blah. But then at the other hand, you're trying to be like, okay, but I'm the parent and I said, don't hit, or I'm the parent and I said, go to bed. So how do you mesh that so that you're not just always letting your child say, you know, his side of the story, yet trying to be consistent and like, you know, if daddy says no, it's no.
Right. So it, back to what we were saying about bedtime, the way that the parent was approaching bedtime was asking the child, you know, saying it's time for bed. Okay. So that wasn't clear messaging. But another way to approach that would be, it's time for bed. Would you like to brush your teeth in your bathroom or my bathroom tonight? Okay, we've brushed your teeth. Would you like to pick out two books or three books tonight? So we just keep hammering them with choices. And the choices, I usually like two choices. They need to be choices you're okay with, and they need to be age-appropriate choices. So we keep giving them choices. So they're now, we've said without any question about it, it's time for bed. Now we're moving them into making a choice that's going to be heading toward bedtime. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. I got it. Now let me circle back to some of these other things. Like, who would benefit the most from parent coaching, do you think?
Gosh, everyone. So, you know, outside of our doula services, there are some people that really don't need somebody coming into the home for the overnight support or for 4 hours at a time. They really just need some clarity on how to move through different situations. So, anyone can benefit. I've worked with people who got a baby through adoption, and it was a last minute call, and they had no idea that they were about to get a baby, and called me and said, we've got a 3 week old, and you know, can you help us figure out what we need to set up a home for a baby? That's one situation. And actually, they were one of my favorite clients. They used my services for the next 2.5 years, where every now and then, every few months, maybe even 6 months, they would call for a parent coaching session based on changes that were happening.
I was going to ask you about that. If you have like repeat customers, because you get them through a certain period, and it sounds like you're saying birth to about 4 years old, more or less. And then, you know, it seems like you might have to have a a shot in the arm every once in a while. So
exactly. Yeah.
I really wanted to touch on, because I couldn't believe this statistic. I'm sure you're familiar with it, but you also do the grandparent coaching. And, you know, I learned that about 2.9 million kids are being raised by their grandparents. So tell us, tell us how that came to be and how it all works if you're a grandparent.
Yeah. Well, and so there's different degrees of being a grandparent. There's the grandparent who's raising the children, like you just mentioned, or there's the grandparent that's involved in their grandchildren's lives and may take them for the weekend or babysit to let the parents go out when they're babies. So here's how I got into it. I have a 29 and a 25-year-old. My friends that I met, you know, when my kids were little, are now becoming grandparents. Yeah, I'm of that age. And they started coming to me with questions. And I realized, we've always helped the grandparents as postpartum doulas in the home. We're often the ones that are sort of being the buffer between the friction that can happen with the new parents and the grandparents who are like, well, we didn't do it that way when were little. And so we know how to diplomatically step in and handle that situation in a way that, you know, doesn't ruffle too many feathers. So we've always worked with the grandparents. We love working with the grandparents, but I'm finding a passion for working with my age group now and seeing that we did it very differently, you know, 25, 30 years ago. And as our parents would say the same thing about us too, but I want to help the grandparents. I want to help keep those relationships solid and connected. And so I want to help them to be able to be a part of the family without being overbearing or insulting or minimizing or even judging. A lot of my parents will feel judged by the grandparents. So, you know, we had our turn. Now we have to support the new parents. But how can we do that in a way that, for one, we're learning? You know, Mary, new parents learn so differently than we did. With all the technology today at their fingertips, they are learning by Googling things. That's not my ideal way of learning. I like learning by watching my baby, watching my child. What are they trying to communicate to me? So bringing the grandparents in a way that they understand this is the new generation. This is how they learn. They need things differently than we may have. So how can we work together to be in harmony? But at the same time, there's real practical information that a grandparent may need. I do have a story about guiding a friend recently through a babysitting situation. Can I tell you about it? Do we have time?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
So it was a Friday night. I was settling in to read my book, and my phone rings at about 8:30 on a Friday night from my friend who doesn't call me at 8:30 on a Friday night. I answered and heard a screaming baby. And she was rather hysterical too. And she said she was babysitting her 6-month-old grandson, and he's been crying the whole time since the parents left. And immediately I put my parent coach hat on and I just calmed down. I had to speak loudly enough for her to hear me over the crying baby, but I got my calmness on, my zen. And I walked her through, and it went like this. It's crying baby, whimpering baby, quiet. And it was probably 25 seconds. And then my friend's crying, saying, "How did you do that? Oh, my gosh, that was a miracle. How did you know?" Well, of course, I felt so grateful that I was able to help. And also, it was fun for a friend to see me and my skills, to see how I can be helpful.
But what did you do? What did you do? Everybody out there listening is going to like, how did she calm a baby in a matter of seconds?
Well, I told her to use the doula hula, which is one of the terms that I coined, doula hula, bringing the baby in really tight and secure, like a human swaddle, holding him in really tight, put one ear against the chest, and then put your hand over the outer ear. So now we're kind of creating that ocean kind of white noise-ish effect, that kind of droning sound, and then start doing the doula hula, which is just swaying or, you know, up and down. That's what I call the elevator drop. But I said, start swaying, holding him, and it just worked.
Wow.
It's exactly what she needed. And then I walked her through what the next steps would be to get him down in his crib. And the rest of the night went perfectly. So that was just thankfully it worked.
Wow. That's really something. And if I'm sure you've got more great advice in your pocket. So how would somebody find you if they're interested in learning about your services?
The best way would be to go to my website, which is firstdaze.com, and reach me through the Contact Us page.
Okay, great. And you also offer virtual services for parent coaching, right?
Yes, my friend was in Virginia and I'm in North Carolina. So I was on the phone with her. And actually a lot of my parent coaching is done virtually. I would say 99% is done virtually.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being here, Pam.
It was so fun. Thank you.
You know, I want to point out that there are other services available in this arena as well. The triple P, P like positive. So it's the triple P positive parenting program has free parenting courses online, and you can find them at triple P-parenting.com. So that's triple P like positive. It's the Positive Parenting Program, and it's triple P-parenting.com. And, of course, you can find other companies in the area, wherever you live. Just, again, like always, make sure you do your research. Well, it's time to high five and say goodbye. I'm Mary Innsbrucker for Triangle 411. Today's pocket: guide our youth. They are our future.